the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
I'm here to meet your fate.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Sorry for the delay, folks. Little technical difficulties on my end, but should be cleared up now. So let's on with the show.
Well, yeah, you want a good show? You
quiet, you please. Go. Quiet.
I'm sorry. I upset my lord.
I haven't created you yet for this week, so you got to wait. So, welcome to our little show we call the What Are You Reading comic book show. The show that saves the universe. I'm the man they call the surfer, and I gotta be honest with you people. I'm very upset. The news that came this week. Very, very upset. It seems that the Superhero Registration Act has caught up with the mouse. They're shutting down all superhero activities on Facebook. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm going to collect unemployment now because I've spent the last 4 years superheroing on Facebook and even was doing it on the mobile app. And all that's being shut down. We'll talk about it a bit. We'll talk about more in a little bit. So, if I seem sad and down, be forewarned. But I never do a show alone. I at least have a co-host if I don't have callers. The co-host this week, of course, is the same co-host, the sidekick of sidekicks, Jordan Cobb. How are you, Jordan?
Yes, it is.
And so, Jordan, what's up with you?
I'm good. Just basically my week's been on a whole lot of babysitting. Had to order a brand new goddamn charge for my MacBook.
I never do a show alone. So I had to go on a website. And,
because Apple, fuck you and your cords. And I got to spend the day of my with my lady yesterday.
You need a cord for your Apple? Well,
my power adapter.
You don't have a Five Below near you?
I don't have a what?
Five Below.
What the fuck is that?
It's a store. Everything they selling is $5 or less.
We got a Dollar General.
Not the same thing.
Yeah, well, I don't have a Five Below. Never heard of a Five Below. I thought, is it a regional thing or something? Is it across the? I don't fucking know.
I thought it was, across the 50 states.
Whatever. I spent the day yesterday with my lady. That was awesome. It was just wonderful. And then I came home and found that, we got vanilla Coke. Oh.
It's a little vanilla Coke every once in a while. I mean, not all the time, but, you know, once in a while.
Vanilla Coke, I will go on record. Vanilla Coke is the greatest goddamn soda that was ever invented. And if you want to fight me on that,
oh, you do
I
like it.
So.
I thought you were saying.
I love vanilla Coke.
I thought you were saying you don't like it.
No, I love vanilla Coke. Again, I just said it's the greatest goddamn soda that's ever been made.
Okay, I mean.
Yeah. I will fight people on vanilla Coke.
Well, I think it's okay. I mean, I'll drink it if that's what's in front of me, but I don't go out my way to get it.
Mmm. That rich, rich taste that's swirling around in my
first
cup
of all,
with ice cream.
I really don't taste the vanilla, to be honest.
I do.
Okay.
Whatever. But yeah, again, babysat my nephew for a good portion of the week. And Apple is an asshole with its chargers. And
how much they charging? Charging for the charger.
it's funny because I spent money I really couldn't afford to spend.
what about
Okay, here's the thing. Apple doesn't do free replacements anymore, so I had to buy like one off of Amazon. It was fine.
Yeah, I was about to say what about Amazon?
Yeah,
how much they charge?
Like $25.
Yeah, man, you gotta get a Five Below.
But here's the thing, my brother also has a MacBook, and my charger before this was slightly busted, but still functional. So I ordered myself a new one, and I gave them the work, the slightly busted but still working one. I was like, look, it'll work. I know you guys are gonna go. Hold on, they said they were gonna go and bite around. Here's the thing. That charger then shat on them, and they had to pay rent. So I just gave them my brand new functional charger for them to have. Then I had to order me a new one. So I'm out $60 combined.
Okay.
Apple, please.
Question I gotta ask.
Fuck yourself.
You're in Arkansas. What happened to Walmart?
They don't have MacBook Pro. They don't have MacBook chargers at Walmart.
They deal with my area, but okay. I mean, not the brand, but you can get a generic one.
Once again, you live in Philadelphia. That's a major market. I live in bumfuck Arkansas. Oh, nobody in the chat room. Let us enjoy JC's misery while it lasts. You can't see it, but I may or may not be flipping you off right now.
Gotham don't do that to nobody. He's a loyal listener.
I know. Hey, look, I know he's fucking with me. I'm fucking with him. It's fine. I know that's our thing. It's okay. I like to have fun with the viewers.
So tell the people watching us on television how they can get involved with the show.
We're on television now? I didn't know that.
You did say viewers.
Listen, whatever. Our listeners. Alright, a fun thing about the What Are You Reading comic book show is that you can join in, talk to us, discuss things, maybe even share, you know, baking recipes. That's always fun. I like to know how to bake good cake.
Baking a good cake is a nice thing.
What?
I said baking a good cake is a good thing.
Yeah, it really is. Also, key lime pie, amazing. So, the way you can do that, Skype, that's our primary one. Look up the contact SilverSurfer_forever. All lowercase help search, find out contact, add it, and then call on in. There's also the listen live chat room at www.rantyandreo.com/chat-live, where you can listen to us live and join us. People like Stanley Kubrick and nobody. If you want to talk to them, I guess. But it's also at www.rantamradio.com/chat-listen-live that you can listen to us live on the air as you do. So if you miss us live, don't worry. Once we are off the air, this show will be played on a loop throughout the week. Standard procedure of every show, even specials and such, until the next one airs. But if you can't listen to it that way, I understand. We are busy. I'm busting my ass off trying to get a good living. I know you are too. You want to listen to whatever you want, whenever you want, at any damn time. I got you covered. Search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio on the TuneIn app. Yes, the TuneIn app. Download it today. Available on Apple and Android devices. You can also download it on your PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Get on that now. Okay, well, listen to us first, then do that. But we're also available on Stitcher, Internet Radio. We are on Podbean. We are on Blog Talk Radio. And of course, the almighty iTunes. Listen, open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio. Indie podcasting section where you're subscribing. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a review. That'll help us out greatly. You can also like us on Facebook. Search for the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show Facebook page where we update it daily with all the news that will be discussed later on in the week on the show. And you can even talk to us. The surfer asks us about a comic book, ask you a general question, or just be like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Want to get some chicken wings? Which would, you know, I would like, you know, at least a listener to offer me that. And you can also follow us on Twitter. I am at Joe Woco, JOWOCO.
So, any plans for tomorrow?
I'm most likely back. I don't know.
Cooking out? Family maybe. Coming over?
Well, my brother and sister-in-law pretty much come over for dinner every week.
Yeah, but that's on Sundays. That's
almost every damn night. Okay. So,
I pull out the little splash pool or something. I don't know.
They have a kiddie pool for their kid. We don't have one over here. They can keep that over there.
Okay. I'm not sure what I'm gonna be doing tomorrow, but I'm gonna do something. So, last day of the summer, not technically the last day, but you know, as far as you know, being off and all the other good stuff. Of course, a lot of people run down to the shore, but they can't because they're afraid of hurricanes coming up the East Coast, and we hope that it was...
What's the hurricane called this time?
I don't know. I don't keep up with the names, but we hope those living down in Florida and along the East Coast is safe and sound.
Well, that is terrible. That's awful. Stay safe, surfer.
Oh, no, it's not going to affect me. I mean, we may get a little rain, but we're not getting no hurricanes.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, we have New Jersey to buffer us.
Ah, right.
Now, before we start, I want to apologize for last night. Those that involved in the Rant Fantasy Football, there was a technical problem with the draft, and it was going well, and then we realized we didn't have a bench. And so we had to cancel that and start over. And I think a lot of people didn't realize we were starting to draft over. So they may have woken up to a team they didn't necessarily pick because they got auto-picked after that. But we felt it was better to scrap the draft and start over than to go through a season without a bench. Because, you know, when you get to your player being on a bye week, what are you going to do? Cut him and then hopefully he'll come back. Hopefully you'll be able to pick him up. Because if you got a top quarterback, you have to cut him for a week. He's going to be gone by the time you are ready to pick him back up. So, yeah. But
how did the draft go?
It was okay. I mean, like I said, we you know. It was good the first time around, but then when we had to cancel it out and start over, you know, I don't think a lot of everybody got the memo, so. I'm sorry. You know who that's from?
Urkel?
No. It's Pee Wee Herman's character on the Cheech and Chong's movies. Before he became the Pee Wee Herman that we know. He used to do Cheech and Chong movies. And he got them in trouble. And he was supposed to be a bit slow and a cocaine addict in those movies. So he was being told to apologize to Cheech and Chong for getting them locked up in a mental institution. And he's like, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's been a while since I've seen that movie.
Anyway, I got some box office numbers.
Yeah, money.
Now, of course, keep in mind, a lot of people don't go to the movies this particular weekend because it's the last weekend of the summer and people run down to the shore, to the national parks. But Suicide Squad, you know, even though There's a mixed feeling about how people feel about that movie. Kind of holding on in second place at $10 million. It's now up to $297 million with a budget of $175 million. Can't say it was a failure because, you know, if anybody thought this was going to be a billion-dollar movie.
Yeah, because it made that money.
You didn't know what you're talking about. But it's up to $672 million worldwide. So...
yeah, regardless of how I think it.
We'll get a sequel, and maybe they'll iron out the kinks.
Regardless of how I think it sucked, yeah, it's getting its money.
Pete's Dragon came in third place. I finally saw it this week.
How was it?
It was okay. $6.4 million. It's up to $64 million after 4 weeks. Kubo and the Two Strings, I saw most of that. I couldn't see the end of it because I had to leave. $6.4 million. It's up to $34 million. It's a $60 million budget. Unfortunately, stop-motion movies don't do as well as they could because, you know, they cost more to make than they bring in. Sausage Party came in fifth place. The movie You Shouldn't Take Your Kids brought in $5.3 million. That's an $88 million hit for sure. And that's all as far as movies that concern us. Everything else is too far to us. Nobody cares about Ben-Hur, so.
Well, judging by the box office, yeah, nobody really.
I told people that that movie was going to be a...
caring about.
It was going to fail because nobody was like, oh, I can't wait for a Ben-Hur remake. Let me clear my throat for a second. Hold on.
Okay, so I'm in charge now, and I decree,
sorry about that. All right. Where should we start? Should I start with what got me all hurt and upset this week,
let's get it up, because I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Avengers Alliance on Facebook and on mobile apps is shutting down.
I heard about that.
At the end of September, after 4 years for the Facebook game and a few months for the mobile app for the Avengers Alliance 2, Disney just decided to say, we're closing the game down. And so at the beginning of the month, it logged in and got the message saying that. And so now we're on our last mission. I don't know if a lot of people are actually playing or not, because it's really, really hurt the community. People have been playing Facebook Avengers for the last 4 years. It opened in conjunction with the original Avengers movie. But to those that play, it's kind of an addictive game. Now, I know you played it for a little bit, but then you punked out.
I have for a little while.
You punked out because you don't have the heart of a hero, and I get it.
Maybe I got really busy. But yeah, sure, let's go with your excuse.
Now, there's been a bunch of characters released in the game. A lot of well-known ones, a lot unwell-known. Now, of course, because of the little tizzy that Marvel's having with Fox, they've kind of shied away from releasing mutants other than the top X-Men that you know. So you got your Cyclopses and your Colossuses and Gambits and stuff like that. But then they haven't released a mutant in like 2 years. They've concentrated more on releasing Inhumans and even like MI-13 characters. And so the game is shutting down with its last two character releases of White Tiger and Adam Warlock. And at September 30th, I'll be on the unemployment line. Mr. Incredible, working a 9-to-5 job in a cubicle.
Well, that does suck for those that really did love the game.
You don't care about our pain.
What? I'm showing sympathy. I can't give condolences, motherfucker.
Now there is a petition.
Can't be a decent human being.
There is a petition to try to get the game not to go away, but you can sign it. You know, if it makes you feel better. I think I did, but I'm realistic that that Disney and their interactive video game service is not going to say, oh, wow, we changed our mind. You can keep the game.
I want to make a guess. Let me guess. This petition is at change.org?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. You know, change.org really could have been something, but now people have just fucked that site.
Well, see, change.org was meant to be for petitions for the government, like...
Yeah, exactly. Like, worthwhile cause, trying to get officially labeled the KKK as a hate group. Like, yes, I will sign this online petition. I'll totally do that. You know, stuff like that. But, yeah, people have just fucked it. Because, like, I dislike this brand of hot sauce, so I'm going to go change.org to get discontinued.
Well, that's the problem with people. They don't know what they want. Stupid. Anyway.
Yeah, people sometimes really suck. All right.
Hold up. Normally we do TV talk, but have you been watching Fear the Walking Dead? Because I haven't.
No, I have not given one single shit since that show's come back.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that show because
apparently they're in Mexico now. They found a yacht. They went to Mexico. I guess the heroin kid is no longer on. I don't know.
But I'm just saying, I don't like. Like, is it? It's the numbers. The viewing numbers good, or it's just...
Let me check this out. Hold on. But, yeah, again, that first season was like, that's fine. It's adequate. It's okay. I just really didn't give one goddamn. It's not that interesting. I mean, I like the two leads, you know, the husband and wife. Like, they're the best characters, but... Man,
I'm... Now, since we into bad news, I'm going to get this other bad news out the way.
And
Jordan, reaction.
Ratings seem decent enough.
Your reaction.
Okay, what's my reaction?
Get you in trouble. So keep that in mind.
All right, give me the fucking news.
Remison's final season.
Okay.
Now... I'm waiting all summer for Grimm Return because it ended with like it had a great season finale, and it left you on this cliffhanger, and you can't wait to find out what's going to happen next, because your lead character and one of his frenemies are staring each other after the Grimm just murdered a room full of people, and they don't know whether they should start fighting. Or walk away from each other. Well, we're going to have to wait till January to find out what happens.
Well,
because it's the final 13 episodes. Now, I'm not kind of surprised that the show's coming to an end. I just wish we could have got a full season. And the reason why I'm saying I'm not surprised because one of the ongoing stories was, from the beginning, was the lead character, Nick Burkhart, got this key, and it was a key that belonged to some hidden artifact over in Europe somewhere that his ancestors, who was crusaders, hid, and it was like six other keys, so you got to take all seven keys, and you put them together and give you a map as to where this hidden artifact was, and then you find out what it is. So... at some point, Nick gets most of the keys, and they discover where this hidden artifact is. They go look for it, and they find it. And they bring it back, and they open up the case, and it's a wooden stick. And they don't know what to think of it until one of their characters is about to die, and the stick heals them. And then they realize they got something super powerful. So with that storyline out the way, there's really not much to continue on other than, you know, the resolution between what's going on between him and his police captain, who's been a friend and an enemy, and his old girlfriend and his current girlfriend, who was also his enemy, and the fact that they have a kid together, and she has a kid with the enemy captain, who's super powerful. So those are the things they have to resolve. Other than that, all the other main storylines got resolved. So,
well, that sucks.
Keep it shut. Because you sit there and say you condole me, but you're not. I can hear it in your voice.
Okay, I'm not a fan of Grimm. I just thought it was okay. That doesn't mean. Okay, do you honestly? Okay, do you think I'm dancing over Grimm's grave, twiddling my twirly mustache?
I wake up in nightmares. Yes. Ever since Hannibal went up the air, yes, you've been waiting for this.
Well, you know what, Surfer? Hey, look at it this way. You're getting to have a conclusion. They could have just said, we're getting rid of Grimm and that's it. And you never would have gotten a conclusion. Think about that, huh? I mean, you're getting an ending. You're getting storylines wrapped up. Be happy.
Still, I gotta wait till January.
Don't be sad because it's over. Smile.
No, I'm more sad that they're not giving me a full season, but okay.
Hey, 13 episodes is plenty.
I don't live in England. Anyway. Rest in peace, Grimm.
Solo vio con Dio.
You knew how to kick ass when it came down to it.
Well, speaking of TV, we may soon have a new DC comic show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
Black Lightning!
Well, I hope that Tony Isabella is getting a check for it.
If we can only hope.
Because he is the creator of Black Lightning,
yes,
and I haven't
yes.
met him in person.
Him and Trevor Van Eden.
And,
back in 77 with Black Lightning number one, debuted in his own book.
Well, that's funny that they're going with Black Lightning and not, like, Static.
Yeah. Well,
Static's a more current character that everybody knows.
More well known. A little bit more popular. I mean, yeah, I could see it. I could see that. But I think Black Lightning might work mainly because you could get a market with it being with the way Black Lightning is with his daughters and such. You can make it a superhero family show as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So here are the details. Greg Berlanti is looking to add more to DC Comics and Television with the creator of BET's The Game and Being Mary Jane, Mara Brock Akil, and her husband. Where is... Salim Akil. They're on board to produce, right? Berlanti's helping to produce. As well as Sarah Schetter. Black Lightning TV show. Black Lightning, of course, being Jefferson Pierce, the principal of Garfield High in the south side of a familiar place in D.C. called Metropolis. Synopsis for the show reads, he made his choice. He hung up the suit and his secret identity years ago, but with a daughter hell-bent on justice and a star student being recruited by a local gang, he'll be pulled back into the fight as the wanted vigilante and D.C. legend, Black Lightning. Now, the reason I say this could be a good way to make a superhero family show is because Jefferson Pierce has two daughters, Elisa and Jennifer, who are also superheroes, Thunder and Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And that plays a big part into the stories and characterization of Jefferson. So, this would be the first live-action TV iteration of Black Lightning, since he's mainly appeared animated in, say, Young Justice, Batman, Brave and Bold.
No, he did show up in some DC Shorts. Him and his
daughters. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. DC Shorts, that featured him and his daughters, where he was voiced by Blair Underwood, which was actually a really good casting. So it's being pitched around right now to networks. It doesn't have a home. So I'm curious. I like Black Lightning. He's a really cool character. And yeah, hopefully the creators will get a paycheck on this.
Yeah, because they've not wanted to pay them in the past, which is why.
Oh, yeah.
This is why when the Super Friends was diversifying, they made up Black Vulcan instead of using Black Lightning.
Yeah, Black Lightning's awesome. There's some really good comics out there. They DC earlier this year re-released a collection of some of the earliest stuff, like his first run in a miniseries, all the way back from the late 70s. There's also Black Lightning Year One, which I dug myself. I highly recommend that. What's your thoughts on this? Like Black Lightning live action TV show?
I would like it, but until we know for sure that it's actually going to be something, I'm just gonna, I'm not gonna get all excited like that.
Yeah, I mean, nah, it's too early to get excited. I mean, I'm curious about the idea of this show happening. That'd be cool, but. Yeah, let's just wait and see if this show has a spark to it. I absolutely do not regret saying that line. You may applaud now, people.
This just in. Winners of the Harvey Awards. Apparently, Baltimore Comic-Con took place this weekend, which I didn't realize it was this week. I thought it was next weekend.
Well, I realized it was this weekend when there's a friend of mine with a booth down there, selling some books. I didn't realize that because, of course, as we know, it's Dragon Con weekend.
Which friend is that?
Harris O'Malley, Dr. Nerdlove.
Harris is in Baltimore. Jeez.
Yeah, he's got a booth for Dr. Nerdlove. His new book.
I could have met him.
I mean, he's a cool dude. But, everything seems to be like DragonCon, DragonCon, DragonCon.
Now,
meanwhile, Baltimore's like, we're here.
Now, I just posted a link to the winners on our Facebook page, What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. But real quick,
let's get some big names.
Best artist, Fiona Staples for Saga. Best writer, Ryan King Vaughn for Saga. Best single issue, Peanuts, a tribute to Charles M. Schulz, Boom. Let's see, graphic album original, Mark, Book 2. Best cover artist, Fiona Staples, Saga. Best original graphic novel publication for young readers, Lumberjanes, Boom Studio. Best new series, Paper Girls, Image Comics.
Ryan K. Vaughan really racked it up last night, apparently.
Yeah. Best colorist, Laura Alfred. Alfred. Silver Surfer. Best letterer, John Workman, Ragnarok, for IDW. And you can get the rest of the winners through our link I just posted on Facebook. And for all you listening live, I'm going to put it in the chat room. Because I'm kind like that. I'm nice like that. And look at my chat room.
Yeah, Ryan K. Vaughan racking them up last night. That's, and you know what? I'm very happy that Paper Girls won. Paper Girls is an excellent show. And hey, if you've watched Stranger Things on Netflix and want some little more of that, I'd suggest Paper Girls. Oh, by the way, I finished Stranger Things. So, Stanley, you can shut the hell up now.
Yeah, Saga also won Best Continuing or Limited Series. So it's Saga, Saga, Saga.
Well, to be fair, Saga is an incredible book.
Yeah, well, when I opened up this week's version of Saga, and the guy's holding his jaw and stroking it, I'm like, geez.
Yeah, it makes you want to read more.
Nah. I felt Puritan. I felt like I felt violated. Anyway, what do you want to talk about?
Well, sir, well, Stanley now asked if you watched Stranger Things.
No, I have not had the time to watch Stranger Things. I hear about it, so it's on my radar.
But congratulations to all the winners and those who are just getting nominated at the Harvey Awards. Well done. Congrats. Hope you partied hard. Celebrate. What's your favorite hangover cure this morning?
You asking me a question?
No, I was I was just making a statement about, hey, good on the people at the Harvey Awards. Hooray. All right. Speaking of another convention that seemed to happen this week, PAX West. Well, a bit more of a gaming centric, but why am I talking about video games? Because Batman, bitch. The second episode of Telltale's Batman game is coming out. It's titled Children of Arkham. It'll be set to come out later this month on the 20th on PlayStation 4 and 3, Xbox One 360, and the PC, so you can play it on your Steam. And ain't that great? And you can choose whether or not Batman will politely let Carmine Falcone go, or just beat him in the face repeatedly, over and over, until blood soaks his his gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to do. I mean, I'm not telling you how to play your fucking game. You do you, man.
What's next? Oh,
what?
What's next?
Well, speaking of Batman, Ben Affleck shared some pretty interesting footage this week on the Facebooks. That confirms Deathstroke will be appearing in the Justice League film.
Yeah, Deathstroke the Terminator.
Yeah, Ben Affleck, without comment or an explanation, just posted someone in a Deathstroke costume, being like, I'm ready to kick your ass. Dialogue in it, it was just silent, but yeah, there's Deathstroke in the flesh in a DC movie. No word as of yet as to who the hell was in that. He posted on Twitter. Okay, more about it. But, yeah, still. No word as of yet as to who was beneath the mask.
I always thought Deathstroke was a badass, but he was no match for Batman. And now he's supposed to be the villain in the Batman solo movie.
No, Justice League.
No, they say he's going to make an appearance in Justice League.
He's going to be the main Batman. Oh. Huh.
But he's supposed to be in the Batman solo movie, too.
That's odd.
Well, I'd rather them go with Deathstroke than to keep going back to the Joker.
No, I agree. I mean, Batman has a great villains, rogues gallery. Utilize them, please.
Well, Deadshot was one of his rogues, right?
Well, yeah, Deadshot started off as kind of a Batman-centric villain, but then Deadshot kind of expanded out to be like a DC universe.
Right, I'm just saying, like,
he's not, yeah. Deadshot was sort of centric to one character, but then, thanks to Suicide Squad, back in the 80s, he was sort of expanded outward and be like,
but I'm saying they can't use him now because, one, we know he's locked up. And two,
yeah.
They've, like, I don't think they would want somebody as Will Smith's character caliber in the Batman movie, you know, more than just a cameo. And then you get into like Shiva, which, you know, who knows if they'll ever use her. We've done Ra's al Ghul, so he's not somebody that would we need to do again. And then Joker, Riddler, Penguin. They're always there, so let's get somebody new.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Hold on.
Or hell, why not Crazy Quilt? How about Egghead?
Egghead's a TV made up character.
No, wait. Well, no. Bookworm. Yeah.
Stanley, I don't need to watch Strange Things for you to call in and talk about it. As long as you're serious about talking about it.
Or, you know, anything comic book related. Or, you know, how about something not perverted for once?
Yeah, I don't have Netflix at the moment, so.
I mean, hey, I like a good dirty joke every once in a while, but Jesus, dude, let it the hell up.
So that Max Steel trailer came out. You a Max Steel fan? Because I don't know much about him.
I never really heard of Max Steel before.
I've known about the cartoon, but I never, you know, it wasn't something I watched. Now, it's funny, I go to the movie theater, and they run advertisements, and they was advertising that Max Steel was supposed to open August 22nd. And yet it hasn't come out yet. Unless they're talking about August 22nd of next year. But I looked at the trailer, and it gave me nothing.
Yeah, I never heard of Max Steel.
Max Steel is I know Max Steel is similar on the lines of a Ben 10. That makes any sense to you?
Yeah, I know Ben 10, yeah.
Right. So Max Steel is a similar type character.
Yeah, the trailer did nothing for me as well. I was like, okay, that's fine. It doesn't really stand out from anything similar to Max Steel that I've seen before. It didn't have anything that... Okay, I guess the one standout thing I took from it was like, oh, Andy Garcia's here. Okay.
He seems out of place.
Yeah, I can't... Hey, you gotta get what you can where you can, man. But yeah, Matt. Hey, for those that are excited, yeah, Max Steel. That makes you happy.
I really don't think that movie's gonna do well because there may be some Max Steel fans out there, but I think they're few and far in between. It seems like the marketing so far for it is not pushing it, and I think it's gonna open and it's gonna come and go.
Yeah, because I didn't hear jack shit about that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the only thing reason why I knew Max Steel was coming was because I kept seeing the poster. And then we're just now seeing the trailer. But if any Max Steel fans in the chat room,
let us know please tell us what the heck. Nobody suggested. What about the Time King from Batman the Animated Series? This is regards to Batflick solo movie. He was a quotable character.
Time King. Okay.
Well, first off, that is the Clock King, and yeah, I really like the Clock King from Batman the Animated Series.
I think Clock King works as an ensemble villain. Like he's teamed up with some other people, and then he's using his abilities. You can get away with him. Also, he works on a TV version of Batman. You got like a 22-minute episode where you got somebody that's using precise timing to outwit people. But for a 2-hour movie, the Clock King will not work.
But yeah, like how he is used in Justice League, the animated Justice League Unlimited, in the Suicide Squad episode, which, by the way, he was a member of Suicide Squad, Clock King. although later on, really is a good villain. I like him, but yes, that's a small dose of sort of guy. Like the debut episode of Clock King in Batman the Animated Series, I would say is one of the absolute best episodes of that entire series. It's fantastic. Really has an engaging story. And also, yeah, I've also enjoyed Robert Kipner on Flash and Arrow. Wait, what about Booster Gold? What about Booster Gold? Like, Booster Gold in the Batman movie? Like, what do you mean by, what about Booster Gold, the original character?
He was the only villain who knew how long it took Man-Bat to throw a punch. Okay, well...
Yeah, I remember
look,
that.
Clock King's a good villain, but he's only a good, as far as ensemble villain. He can't be your main villain for 2 hours.
You gotta know when to use Clock King right. As a villain for an entire free act movie, I don't think so. Maybe an animated movie, but even then, I'm like, I don't know.
No, even an animated movie. If Batman hasn't figured out how to beat that guy within the first half hour, then Batman's slipping.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean... and now nobody says Hellfrozer because Jordan Cobb and I agree on the clock. You know, just because you're unnecessarily getting angry that I have a different opinion about Gotham. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I can agree with you on this. Whatever.
They Booster Gold. Wasn't they talking about doing a TV show with Booster Gold?
That was a rumor for... Yeah, that was a rumor for a while, but we know Berlanti's doing the Booster Gold movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Booster Gold... Booster Gold, I would love a Booster Gold film. I think it would be a lot of fun, given the history of the character and how well you can play with time travel and superheroes, especially the 25th century where Booster Gold comes from and the continuity of DC. Yeah, if you make a Booster Gold movie and you do it right, that's gonna be one of those fun goddamn things out there. It'll be a blast. You just gotta get the right people behind it and understand the character and the material. And yeah, you're going in for it. Who said I was angry or anything about Gotham? It's just a joke, nobody. Alright, I know we disagree on Gotham. I just play it up a little bit. Because comedy. Alright, nobody. Just playing it up for a little bit of comedy, trying to entertain the people right now. But yeah, Booster Gold film. That's still happening. We talked about that on the show before. And yeah, hopefully that's not fucked. Because again, you can really make something fantastically unique. With a Booster Gold film.
Move on. Let's move on to the people that's not in the chat room. Doesn't get done. You know, it seemed like we'll come back to you in a moment, chat. Give me a news story, please.
All right. You know who really cares? You know who really takes care of his own people?
Yeah, who?
Ryan Reynolds.
The Ryan man. Go ahead. What about him?
Yeah. Good old Ra-Ra. I'm never going to say that again. The Deadpool, the screenwriters of Deadpool, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, revealed on the latest episode of AMC's Geekin' Out, Fox refused to pay them to be on set during the production. Well, Ryan Reynolds ponied up the cast to make sure they were on set.
Nice.
They said in a quote, We were on set every day. Interestingly, Ryan wanted us there. We were on the project for 6 years. It was really a core creative team of us. Ryan and the director, Tim Miller. Fox, interesting, wouldn't pay for us to be on set. Ryan paid out of his own, money, out of his own pocket. That just shows how, that just shows how good a film Deadpool really was, because Reynolds wanted this to work, and so he absolutely made sure that the people that understood Deadpool, aside from himself and the director, were there to make sure everything stayed on track. God damn. That is some stone-cold dedication, and also give an acknowledgement to the writers. So, Ryan Reynolds, my hat is off to you, sir. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's very nice of you, Ryan. Thanks.
Don't come... Yeah, okay, Stanley, you do know there's not one, like, elected single sheriff of Arkansas, right? You keep saying the sheriff of Arkansas are in Arkansas, and I'm just...
When are you going to learn to ignore him in the chat room?
He keeps saying this. I don't know. Who the hell ever knows? But, speaking of Marvel, now we're going to transition quickly into the MCU. Pictures came out of the Iron Fist set.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, I'm up. Yeah, Danny Rand, showing Danny, you know, with a bloody fist and sporting a nasty wound in lower right side of his abdomen.
So they're gonna do a thing. He don't put the costume on to the end of the season.
I think they might. Well, we definitely are gonna get that costume. It worked for Daredevil, so like. Guess why not with
Daredevil had a costume, he just didn't have Daredevil costume.
True, but we don't still know like a core and like we got the basic synopsis and such of what's going on with Iron Fist. We don't still know like what the setup is. Like when he gets back to New York, how he's gonna go around dishing out fistful of justice, in like some ordinary garb or makeshift costume like Matt Murdock has Daredevil. Until he gets like the costume.
Do you like him having facial hair?
Danny?
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I mean, the characters at some point in time has had a little bit of facial hair. Like, even in the current Power Fist Iron Man book, he's got, like, a little chin thing going. Like, he's got a little fuzz on his chin. I don't mind it. It's fine. I think Finn Jones is a really good actor. And he's great casting for Iron Fist. And I think he'll definitely make it work. Not necessarily... The facial hair is no effect to me, really. It's like, okay, he has a beard. But, whatever. It's fine. What do you think?
I'm liking the pictures. I'm more excited when I get a video or a trailer. Well, but right now, let's get on to Luke Cage. That's what I'm focused on.
You can watch that Comic-Con teaser of Iron Fist like just several thousand times in a row.
I haven't seen a teaser.
Wait, you really?
I don't think I have.
You did because we watched it during like the first night of our Comic-Con coverage.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I remember now.
All right.
Just had to be refreshed in the memory.
There you go. Why are they not calling him Power Man? No bias. Why they're not calling Luke Cage Power Man? He doesn't really need the hero name. He's just, like, look, Luke Cage, as evidence in, Jessica Jones and also the Luke Cage trailer, doesn't want to do this. Alright, he's fine just sitting back, enjoying his life, cutting hair in Harlem. He doesn't really want to in on the whole hero thing. That's pretty much what it is. So I'm fine. He hasn't been called Power Man in like the longest goddamn time. That mantle's been passed over to someone else. So him just being Luke Cage, that's cool. And it says something to the character, because the character is like, yeah, he's an ordinary hero, but you know, he doesn't feel that big a hero, but he's a human. So yeah, you don't call him Power Man, you call him Luke Cage. There you go. Continuing on to MCU, Hannibal Buress is the 1,002nd person officially confirmed to be in Spider-Man Homecoming.
They've already confirmed he was in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Well, he was said to have been in it, but now it's actually been confirmed. Like, he said it himself. He's playing Peter Parker's gym teacher.
You know,
as Coach Wilson,
I think they're trying to outdo the black count. Because the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, they were the biggest movies of biggest black movies in the history of superheroes. And I think they're trying to beat that out with the casting they have in this particular film. And if you don't know why I say that those Spider-Man films is a black film, because in all those movies, you got black people in the background going, "Go, Spidey, go!" So, look it up, people. In all of them.
Burris confirmed during Power 105.1's The Breakfast Club, that he said, like, small roles in big movies, that should be my thing. Baywatch and Spider-Man movie coming out next year, that's fine. In Spider-Man, I play a gym teacher. I play one of the dumbass characters that don't realize he's Spider-Man. He's Peter Parker. Oh, man, this guy's really athletic. So, yeah, I like Hannibal Buress. Good on him. It's awesome.
I don't know. He brought down an icon. He ruined a man's career.
I would argue Bill Cosby ruined
it. I don't know if I'm ever going to forgive him for that.
Yeah, I'd say. You realize before he said that on stage, like, those rumors of Cosby had like have been persistent.
No, they were dying down until he made a joke about it. It's all his fault.
Well, again, I'd say Cosby brought himself down, but
now he's an old blind man bumping into columns. Did you see that? Did you see that on the news?
I did not.
Like, he was going into court, and he's playing up the fact that he's supposed to be losing his eyesight, and bumped into a column, but it looked like he braced himself and bumped it in on purpose.
Oh. On purpose?
Yeah, if you look at it closely, it looked like he knew it was coming, and he walked into it to get sympathy. Excuse me.
That sucks. But whatever. I'm not feeling really sorry for Bill Cosby anymore.
So,
that's just me. Other MCU news. There is a deleted scene release coming up for the Civil War Blu-ray DVD release.
I think that's available on digital download right now.
Available in stores this Tuesday.
So I have to find my way to the store, pick up my copy, put it on my Disney Anytime app.
Oh, wait. Correction. Film will be available on Blu-ray, DVD, and on demand September 13th, but you can get it digitally right now.
Okay.
The deleted scene shows Black Panther meeting Black Widow for the first time.
They met before.
Oh wait, no, my bad. Yeah, it's a tense scene.
Yeah, it basically
it's a battle.
This is after the fight scene in the highway with Cap and Black Panther and Bucky. And after they're all taken into custody, of course, nobody knew that this person who was the Black Panther was the prince until he took off his helmet and revealed himself. So, you know, him having diplomatic immunity, he's like, oh, I'm going to be out here in a few minutes because you can't do anything to me. And the Widow's like, you know, by putting that suit on, you are bound to the accords that everybody else is signing. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I'm out. And I guess that leads to the scene that would have led to the scene where he's going to the car and the Black Widow standing there and his bodyguard tells her to move or she'll move her.
Yeah. Which, yeah, that's more or less got to be the Dora Milaje. I love the Dora. By the way, speaking of which, goddamn, I'm still loving this current Black Panther book.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If you haven't been keeping up with Black Panther, his country is in turmoil because they basically don't want to be ruled by monarchy anymore. And there's all kinds of factions, both good and bad, causing the country to break apart. And the Black Panther is stuck with a situation of how to keep the country from falling apart. Does he do it with an iron fist and assert his authority, or does he find another way without harming the people who have lost faith in the government because of the tragedies that have happened over the past couple of years with Namor flooding the country and Thanos and his Black Order slaughtering everybody, even though they kind of remember it happened. Even though they shouldn't. And they kind of, a good amount of people blame the Black Panther for their problems. And then they got people who thinks that their solution is the right one and they're going through means that aren't necessarily the right ones either. So it's very, very political, but yet very human in what's going on. I kind of predicting that at the end, he'll still be the Black Panther, but they may have some kind of election to pick a ruler, and he'll just keep the mantle Black Panther as far as protecting the country. I don't know for sure. And then, of course, he's trying to get his sister back to life somehow, because she sacrificed herself so he could get away from Thanos's men when they were taking over the country.
Yeah, no, I... plus, you got all the family. Plus, you got all, like, the... all the Shakespearean, like, family drama with T'Challa. That's incredibly rich with some very tense conversations and just... This book is fantastic.
Plus, you got some enemies thinking the Black Panther is now vulnerable. This is the time to strike. So,
yeah, I mean, again, it's. I would say it's absolutely like one of Marvel's top five books going on right now. It's, again, it's just absolutely incredible. It's intriguing. It's tense. It's exciting. And you get a great character drama out of it, too. It really is some fantastic, not just superhero writing, but just great character writing as well. It's wonderful. I really can't recommend this enough. I think, like, the first trade is out.
Mm-hmm.
Like... in store date, August. Yeah, the first trade's out. A Nation Under Our Feet. Book 1 that collects issues 1 through 4. And also Fantastic Four number 52. And also 25 pages more bonus content. So you'll get a great, you'll get some bang for your buck. You pick this up. So go do it. Black Panther's incredible. The art, by the way, is also amazing.
Is that all the Marvel news you got?
Let's see, other Marvel news. Well, that was MCU news, but here's something. Marvel is supposedly developing a new Warriors comedy TV series that is focused on Squirrel Girl. ABC and Marvel Studios are behind us and is apparently being shopped around to cable and streaming outlets.
What happened where Squirrel Girl became this popular character out of nowhere? Like, what did I miss?
Okay, I think one thing I had to do with it was Dan Slott's Great Lakes Avengers run.
Back in the day.
Yeah. The other is
if it was that great,
Hold on, Andy, I'm about to give you another reason. The other being the current run. The current unbeatable Squirrel Girl book. That has
I stop you because she got that book because she became popular. What happened? And the Great Lakes of Avengers, that wasn't selling all that great because it would have never got canceled.
Was well received.
Yeah, but what happened in between?
I don't know.
All of a sudden, Squirrel Girl was just, we love Squirrel Girl. Let's have more Squirrel Girl.
I don't know what specific. I don't know if a specific thing happened. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. You're asking me to identify a specific thing. I just can't do that because I really don't know. I just think that the popularity of the character has honestly been on a steady incline. All right, and yet, popularity did lead to the book, but that book even led to more popularity for the character because of how well it was received. It's getting absolute nonstop love. It's being considered one of the absolute best books to like just go in and dive into. Little girls are going to comic book shops and asking for the book by name, cosplaying as Squirrel Girl around cons. And I'm pretty sure there are going to be some small girls out there that are going to be Squirrel Girl for Halloween. And that'll be adorable. The characters always add this sort of niche little following. It's like, she's just like one of those outside, offbeat Marvel characters. Like, and those characters have their place and love within both DC and Marvel Comics. They're always going to be fans of that character that they love. Like, say, I honestly do love the character of KG Beast. I think KG Beast is actually a pretty damn cool character.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I got excited when I was like, oh man, KG Beast in Assault on Arkham, that's cool. And he's like the first one killed in that movie. But mm-hmm. I was still like, I'm still pretty happy.
Somebody has to die to let you know that the bombs in the head are real.
Well, yeah, I know, but still. So, Squirrel Girl's always had some love there. Someone at Marvel is a bit fan of Squirrel Girl. Now they are bringing Hellcat back. Hellcat was already brought back via the recent She-Hulk book. Which, by the way, I'm disappointed in everyone because you didn't buy it. God damn it, and it only lasted 12 amazing issues. But, I got the trades. It's really good. So, it really was a great She-Hulk book. But now Hellcat has her own book, which is also similar in the style of how Squirrel Girl's book is going. And I honestly really enjoy both books. And yes, we're talking about Squirrel Girl, Stanley Kubrick. Keep it in your pants. It's sort of neat.
Captain America trailer's on. Commercial for the Blu-ray.
It's just that niche trail. It's just that niche character thing. But the character's been spreading. She's been getting more and more notice and exposure in Marvel Comics. That's what's led to this. That's why Anna Kendrick and Barb from Stranger Things have been saying, I'd like to play Squirrel Girl. That'd be pretty cool. And, also, another reason for the popularity, incredibly positive female character that is not overly reliant in using sexuality and actually feels like a human being. That's a big damn reason.
Okay.
So
she's going to be in the new Great Lakes Avenger book coming out, and then they're putting her on the New Warriors. She wasn't on a New Warrior, was she?
Well, a New Warriors TV show that may or may not happen. And that, Surfer, is the dissertation as to why Squirrel Girl is the big thing right now.
Well, you know what's big? Attack on Titan Magna has reached 60 million copies.
Woohoo!
That is, of course, the Japanese storyline about the humanity living inside of a walled community, because outside the walls are titans, which are creatures anywhere between 15 meters and 100 meters tall, and they have only an appetite for human blood. And humanity struggles to find a way to survive this horde of creatures that live outside their walls, keep them out, and find a way to, bring an end to them. And the main character, of course, turns out that he can also transform into a titan. And they're discovering there are people inside the walls that can transform into titans. So that makes it even more problematic. Plus, the way humanity is set up, those in charge are corrupt and want to keep their power at any and all costs, and see the rest of humanity as just a way to keep them. They see most of humanity as a way of like fodder between them and the Titans. So
it's great. I read at least a couple issues of the manga. I want to dive in more, because I mainly came to know Attack on Titan through the awesome anime series.
Yeah, we've gotten 24, 25 episodes that they translate to English, and we've been waiting on season 2 now for a minute.
Ugh.
That should be coming for the next year or so.
I want season 2 now. I need it. Why won't you give it to me? God damn it. I will stay up super goddamn late on Toonami just to catch the first episode. I do not care at this point. I need more Attack on Titan. I need it.
So the Anime News Network notes that the Magna has surpassed 52 million copies as of October 15th. The 20th collective volume was released last month in Japan. Debuted in 2009, Attack on Titan depicts the battle between the last remnants of humanity who lives in cities surrounded by enormous walls and the flesh-eating giants who roam outside the walls. It's one of those shows that if you give the time to invest in it, you will find it compelling. But it's not for everyone.
It certainly is not. I would also say, I've watched anime before. I'm not too big an anime fan, but this made me want to dive in a little bit more. So I'm thinking,
have you seen the high school version
of Attack on Titan?
Yes.
I have not seen that yet.
Yeah.
How is that?
Well, it's these kids that go to this high school, and it's two parts of the high school. There's the part they go to, and then the part that the Titans go to. And they can be in danger in the Titan part, but it's more played up for laughs than anything else.
I was going to assume Mikasa is still the best character.
I don't remember.
I'm just going to say that's the case in my head, and I'm going to move on to the next story. Back to Berlanti shows that involve DC Comics. Justify, Arrow Season 5 adds another actor to its recurring roster. David Munir, best known as Johnny Crowder on the excellent, and I do mean excellent, FX series Justified, is now a recurring character on Arrow. He'll be playing Ismail Gregor, who was created by Judd Winnick and Tom Rainey back in the Outsiders number 8 in 04. Gregor is a power-hungry man to his core, and his men hunted down Savik, a demonic entity in human form that was known as Symphony Karns. But for Arrow, they'll be focusing less on the supernatural side, more on the human pursuits, being like, hey, I see that block right there. It could be good for my operation. I'm going to take that block.
I don't know where Arrow's going to go this season.
I don't know either. We really don't know too much about how Arrow's going to go down this season.
Are they going to go back to shorter stories, or are they going to do the season-long villain?
Nothing is known yet. The only other thing, I found out Cody Rhodes' episode will be on October 19th.
Yeah, good old Cody.
Cody! Love Cody Rhodes. I've been keeping up with his stuff on the indie circuit. Pretty good.
What's he doing on the indies?
He's wrestling.
No joke. How's he doing, though?
Oh, he's doing pretty good. I saw a Twitter video of him body slamming a guy on the baseball diamond.
He's wrestling as himself?
Yeah, he's wrestling as Cody Rhodes.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. Good on you, Cody.
As long as you don't have to go to TNA.
They'll fuck that up so badly. There's going to be a fucking final deletion. Okay, you know what? I'm done with this. Another last story related to Greg Berlanti. Man, he is just giving us a lot to work with this week. Riverdale, the upcoming very different adaptation of Archie comics, just added Shannon Purser, a.k.a. Barb from Stranger Things, as Ethel Muggs, and Robin Givens as Mayor Sierra McCoy for the upcoming Riverdale show.
Yeah, Robin Givens. And of course, if you don't know her, she's more famous for marrying Mike Tyson and kind of ruining him with her mother. But she was never a bad actress. She was never a great actress, and I think she would have done more if it wasn't for her time with Mike Tyson. And, Robin Givens, she's back.
Yeah. Apparently she was in God's Not Dead, too. So.
Apparently what now?
Apparently she was in God's Not Dead, too.
Oh, okay. Didn't see it.
Yeah, and I will never see it. Anyway, the upcoming Toho Godzilla movie, Godzilla Resurgence, has finally gotten a release date for us over here in the United States. Godzilla Resurgence will be having a limited engagement on October 11th through the 18th. It will be available on more than 440 theater screens in the United States and Canada. Tickets can now be pre-purchased on the official website beginning on September 9th. So you got a few days. People, you know, that's what you can do. It's been a big hit in Japan since July 29th opening. Made about 845.6 million yen. If someone can translate that into dollars for me. Right. But yeah. We're getting it, people. Godzilla. Speaking of movies featuring big things, this one not too exciting for me. But whatever. Transformers The Last Knight has casted King Arthur. And it'll be Liam Garrigan. From Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, He was King Arthur in the last season of Once Upon a Time, and they really dropped the ball with him. It was like, I'm trying to make this as quick as possible.
Well, wait, he played King Arthur on Dare as well?
Yeah, that's why they called him King Arthur.
Oh, okay.
So he's supposed to be King Arthur in the movie, too?
What?
Is he supposed to be King Arthur in the movie, too?
Yeah, that's what he's been casted as.
Oh, okay. All right, so here was the deal. It was like the main character, Emma, she was corrupted by the darkness. And so the rest of the heroes had to try to rescue her. And they go back to the Enchanted Forest where everybody's from, except, well, she's from there too. She was born there too. She never lived there. So when they get to the Enchanted Forest, they're met by Arthur and his men and taken back to Camelot. And it turns out that Arthur has, you know, Excalibur, but it's broken. And part of Excalibur is in control, is being controlled by Emma because it controls this dark entity that's taking over her body. So, Arthur wants to reunite the sword so he can be the full king of Camelot. But it turns out he's corrupt because when he found the sword and it wasn't whole, it kind of shook him. And then, instead of building Camelot, he kind of half-built it. But then he used magic to make everybody think Camelot was a fully functioning kingdom, and it's not. And it turns out he was built on the evil side, and he's trying to consolidate power in order to keep his throne. Of course, at some point, everybody gets transported back to Earth, and he's transported too, and he tries to come up with a plan to make Camelot on the Earth, but he's stopped. And they stop him. So it's fine. They throw him in jail. And then, out of nowhere, his character escapes jail and runs into Hades. And Hades just up and kills him and sends him to the underworld. And then in the underworld, he goes, you know what? Maybe my kingdom was meant to be down here, so I'm going to try to fix the underworld. And that was the end you saw of King Arthur. No resolution about his people, about Camelot or anything like that. So it was kind of, they used the character but didn't use him properly.
Well, damn.
He's not the first character that they've turned evil, because they made Peter Pan like the most evil character in the universe.
Maybe he'll right his wrongs in Transformers. I won't know, because I don't care.
But, why are we getting King Arthur in Transformers?
Because it's called The Last Knight.
So, is he going to be in a flashback scene where, at some point, a Transformer fell to Earth during his reign? Because if he shows up in modern day, that's just going to seem stupid. Anyway.
Yeah.
Michael Bay, fucking up again.
Hey, people, I would say, wait to hear my thoughts, but I ain't seeing this piece of shit. I can already tell. This movie. Just. Now, I'm done with Bayformers. Only so much whiskey I can take. Only so much, people.
Still gonna make $1 million.
Oh, yeah, no. Michael Bay's gonna, wipe his ass with 100 and then throw it right in our faces.
But he's not even the reason why he's gonna make that.
It's the Transformers.
Right.
Yeah, again, he'll.
It's dummy proof.
He'll shit. Wipe of 100. Then, yeah, he'll throw it in our face and be like, suck it. Whatever. So, hey, Bruce Lee, a Bruce Lee-inspired warrior pilot, has been ordered at Cinemax.
Yeah, Bruce Lee had a lot of ideas that never came to fruition because he was Chinese, and of course, after they stole Kung Fu from him.
Yeah. It's being executive produced and possibly directed by Justin Lin. It's being developed on a story that was originally intended for Lee. Banshee, co-creator of another Cinemax show, Jonathan Troper will be writing a pilot. It's said to be set in post-Civil War Chinatown in San Francisco and tells the story of a young martial arts prodigy newly arrived from China who finds himself caught up in the bloody Chinatown Tong Wars.
Sound like a Bruce Lee concept.
Yeah, it really is. I'm interested. I love Bruce Lee. He sounds badass. If anything, if the story sucks, we can get some badass action going on.
Yeah, if we get the right guy. Now, have you seen the Rogue One trailer? There's not a trailer, I mean video.
What video? About the droid?
No, not the droid. See, hold on. See, my page ain't loading up.
What? Rogue One video.
Give me a second. I'm going to
read. Speaking of the Rogue One droid, as I said, a new droid has been revealed for Star Wars Rogue One. C2B5.
Looks like a black R2-D2.
That's pretty much more or less what it is.
Yeah, we need more black characters in Star Wars. So kudos.
Yeah, black droids finally getting their representation.
That's right.
About time.
But don't expect us to be fetching stuff. That's not cool. Not cool.
Nobody in the chat room. Is anybody looking forward to Dynamite Comics Intertwined? This is the first time hearing about this. Nobody. I don't know what this book is. I'm gonna go look it up now.
Well, if nobody recommended it, yeah, we should pay attention for it.
Okay. Ah, right. Okay. Oh, hold on. Intertwined. 4-issue miniseries. Let's see what this is. Coming out next month. Okay, we got something to look forward to. All right, says a murder. A mysterious League of Protectors operating in the shadows. A legacy to protect, a city to save from filth, corruption and gangs. The girl has to pose as a man to protect herself and her heritage. A young kung fu okay, it's a kung fu noir book. Shit, man. That's why I was funded by a successful Kickstarter campaign. Dude, Kung Fu Noir. Okay, dude, nobody. All you had to say this was a Kung Fu Noir story, and I'm fucking in. He says, imagine if Peter Parker is a... imagine if Peter Parker is a Chinese immigrant with superpowers. That's more or less what I'm reading on Dynamite's website. Yeah, no, this sounds awesome. Okay. Writer is Fabrice Spolowski. Art is by Fred Pham Chong. And it's out October 5th. Kung Fu Noir. Dude, that sounds awesome. Okay, I'm putting this on my pull list. I'm definitely checking this out. I'm ready to go. Star Wars Go Rogue. What in the hell is this? This is the video. Okay, Surfer, what exactly is this?
Look at it real quick.
It's a stop motion.
I'll put it in the chat room for you people to look at it. And I'm assuming there's going to be more than one chapter. Yeah, they came out with a Star Wars Go Rogue One Chapter 1. It's basically the Star Wars toys in a stop motion video.
Okay,
tied into the Rogue One movie.
I like the little Death Star model in the building in the compound that says has a coming soon banner on it. I don't know why I'm giggling over that. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pause it right here. Watch the full thing after we're off the air. And our last two bits of news have to do with Old Blue Superman. Now, we all know Superman's coming on by the Supergirl for the first couple of episodes of Supergirl's Season 2. Set fellows have seen the reveal he'll be taking on Metallo. Well, it just so happens that Frederick Schmidt has now been casted as Metallo. The TV version of one of Superman's longest-running rogues has been described as when international assassin John Corbin is badly injured after taking on both Supergirl and Superman, he is reborn by a shadow organization into the kryptonite-powered supervillain, Metallo. Of course, you know, Metallo, one of Superman's longest-running villains. Debuted back in 1959 in Action Comics 252. The one thing that's consistent is that he's pretty much like he's a robot. Or android, however you say. He's got like a huge human exoskeleton. He's able to absorb any metal.
And he's powered by kryptonite.
Yeah.
That's what makes him dangerous to Superman.
Exactly, yeah. Whenever it's being like, all right, I'm going to punch your chest out. Oh, damn it, there's kryptonite. It's a really smart move when you think about it on Metallo's part. Tactical advantage. It's really smart. All right, and the final story we have revolves around the upcoming Krypton pilot, which will basically be Superman's version of Gotham right now.
Yeah, Krypton, if you don't know, it's set 50 years before the destruction of Krypton. So it's basically dealing with Superman's grandpappy.
Yep.
And how Krypton was, leading up to its destruction. Now, of course, I don't know how many people care, whether it could make a compelling story, but there's a...
I'm not too optimistic, but...
My optimism comes to this. Sci-Fi Network. Once I hear that, I'm not thrilled anymore.
Hey, Sci-Fi's done good shows.
Like?
Warehouse 13. Alphas.
No
the
watch.
Invisible Man.
Don't appeal to me.
ECW. I can't even do that seriously.
SmackDown was the... best thing they had on there, and they don't have that no more, so.
King Arthur all up in this episode today. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword actress Georgina Campbell has been casted as the female lead for Krypton. She'll be playing Lita Zod, part of Kryptonite's military cast, and daughter of General Allura Zod. She is a cadet having forbidden romance with Zig Ale, who is yet to be cast. Who, of course...
So she's the mother of General Zod?
I assume? Maybe? I don't know. Wait. She could be... Okay. So Zig Ale and Lita are having a forbidden romance. Okay, this could lead to General Zod. Yeah, this could lead to her getting impregnated and giving birth to old Zoddy. Oh, yeah, Farscape. Yeah, Farscape was also great. Farscape's awesome.
Okay. Did you say so?
Hey, nobody in the chat room is backing me up on Farscape.
Farscape's great. I'm not going to argue with you about that.
My optimism for Krypton is like, I am not too sure how this could work.
You know, I got on TV in the background the clusterfuck of a destruction movie called Transformers Dark of the Moon, and you watch the climax and just how it just wrecks shit. That's what makes this movie so bad.
There wasn't a building left in Chicago that Michael Bay didn't explode,
especially when you got giant worm like Transformers
dick formers
burrowing through buildings, and yet our heroes can survive it.
Well, that's all the news.
Oh, okay. What are we going to do now?
I don't know. I got barbecue going on downstairs.
Okay. I guess I'll tell everybody about the fine programming here on Rant EM Radio.
Yes, please do, because we have great programming here.
Tomorrow is the Labor Day Marathon. Best of the pay-per-view post shows. It's all day long, beginning at 8 a.m. So if you missed the post show, you can tune in and listen to them. Then on Tuesday at 8 p.m. is the Rant Live. No more Summer of NWO, but still you can find wrestling programming. Wednesday, you might not get a live episode of Thumbstick Ninjas, you know, because it's every other week. And then even on the weeks that it's not live, you do get a replay. So you'll listen to our episode at some point. Thursday at 9 o'clock is Rant and Wrestling for more wrestling talk. Then Friday at 9, live, Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You get wrestling, you get throwbacks, you get a lot of good stuff out of that show. And then, if you got your own opinion and you wanted to call in and talk about it, there's a wrestling call-in show with William Morgan at 11 p.m. But you really tune in for our show every Sunday at 5 p.m.
What are you going to come to the show?
We got to do a round table. You know? We haven't
Maybe.
Done one in a while.
Gotta think of a good topic.
What's a good topic?
I don't know. We gotta think of one. I'm not doing this on air though. I want to keep. If we do this, I want to be like, I don't want to let anybody know anything until they're ready.
Okay. And we got a. You got a.
You know, we can't be like, you know, cool reveals in wrestling and get spoiled by the internet.
We got a programming coming up. Isn't a pay-per-view coming up in the next week or so? Next week?
What we do?
I think the WWE pay-per-view Backlash is next week.
That is next Sunday. Yeah, next Sunday.
So there'll be a pre-show at 7 and a post-show at 11. So no haters. No haters. So we'll be going out the air by 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Not even a cup of haters. No.
Get to watch and you get to watch the WWE where Dean Ambrose defends his title against AJ Styles.
You know, I hear he's pretty phenomenal.
You know, I missed all those phenomenal years, so I can't confirm that.
Hmm. I guess I'll have to go and see for myself, won't I?
Anywho, thank you for listening.
We appreciate everybody that listens to us being here, or, you know, if you listen at your own time. We thank you for your support, and the show works because of you guys.
Those in the chat room, Stanley, Nobody, Anonymous Users.
Yeah, we thank you. Those lurking from the shadows. So, everyone listening at home and wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this, thank you so much. Good night, everybody.
See you next week. Peace.